there's this young guy who works on the pathway to the beach, and he's 22 or so, university student, and he likes to clean outside, and he sweeps along there, and every other day he works at the beach. I said, look, you can have a better fun time out in the air working if you had something to listen to. So he's listening to Ion shows, the ones with Ion, the recent ones. Okay, so I was approaching him the other day, and he sees me, so he takes this cloth off his face. They keep themselves quite covered up. They don't have RNA drops in them. They worry about sunburns and stuff. And he takes the buds out, and as soon as I get close to him, he goes, Bob, what's an Andy environment? And I start to say, oh, that's me. And before I could say it, he says, you're talking. You know what I mean? He said the same thing I was going to say. Yeah, that's me. That's not Ion. I said, yeah. And so I think, okay, an Andy environment. And I said, now you're sitting here, and we're actually strolling along, sweeping and pruning the hedges. You work for a living, and you go to university, and university is okay. These are things you accept in your environment. They become your environment. When I come along, you're encountering someone who doesn't work, doesn't go to university, doesn't engage in anything of any rules like you're living in. So I'm a different environment. Let's call that an anti-environment. So I'm his anti-environment. So he's looking at me, oh, so you're an anti-environment. He's asking me the definition. I go, yep. Then I said, now, you're listening to Ion. Compare that to what you're listening to in university. He says, yeah, I don't know what they're saying in university. I don't know what it's for. I said, but don't you think this is important? And he says, yes, it is. Now, a little digression. When I saw him a few days before that, he sees me. He takes off the buds out of his ears, and he says, hey, I've just listened to Ion talk about drugs. He says, it's okay to take drugs, but it's not required. And he said the phrase again, it's not required. I said, yeah, isn't that a good phrase? He said, yeah, it's not required. Said, that's really neat, really cool. So he liked that phrase. So I'm getting ready because I said the next time I'll see him, I'll go, it's not required. My first phrase will be, but I didn't get a chance to do it because he said, what's an anti-environment? So now we're sitting here, and I'm explaining to him that the Ion information is an anti-environment to his university education. Those are two examples of what the definition of an anti-environment is. So isn't that cool? What do you think of that, Bert?
I listen to you and the whole archives where I work, and it's funny because when I dial out, it's funny that anti-environment lens is always with me when I go, you know, just interacting with people. And it's funny how it's like living in two worlds.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Where you're relating to the anti-environment, which the voice that you're hearing and interacting with Payday and listening to you, and then interacting with normal everyday people or normal everyday occurrences, and you're actually able to see a lot of different angles based on the anti-environment that would not normally be there.
A metaphor McLuhan used to define is looking at one thing or one situation through another situation. So you're living a metaphorical life in this situation with our material.
Yes.
Any environment is a living metaphor.
It is required.
Yeah, that's what you can tell Madeline. People go, what is Ion? Well, Ion's what's required. It's what you begin with.
And an anti-environment.
Yeah, it's an anti-environment. See,
that's
so
really good.
Everywhere I've lived, I always connect with someone young. And then becomes this one-on-one talking. So this lucky kid, he doesn't know he's talking to the most powerful person on the fucking planet. He's just coming on being a friendly talker with him, you know, like he, every time he sees me, he takes the buds off and we talk about whatever he's listening to. In other words, he is following my course, my agenda, my something, and he's getting to hear all this stuff. It's partly irritating that I have to stop and talk to him every time, but usually he makes it interesting. So, you know, I prefer not to engage with humans. I just like observing them. I say, how you doing? I say, how you doing to a lot of people. I flirt with people, look at the girls, look at their bums, you know. They look at my dick, you know. We flirt back and forth with their tattoos.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But this is the, I love this Mad Lib. So he takes his buds off. He says, they're talking about ayahuasca. I go, ayahuasca, who would that be? And I'm trying to figure out who would that be? And I couldn't think of anybody. I said, we talk about ayahuasca. That gets talked about. But I was a bit of a rush, and so I didn't talk to him anymore. So I went off to the beach. Now, I come back about an hour and 22 minutes later, and he's still working. And as soon as I'm in a hearing range, he goes, Madeline! It was Madeline.
Oh.
Well, I'm saying, oh, man, wait till I tell Madeline this story on Saturday because here I was going to say, Madeline, she doesn't know that some guy is yelling out your name on Maui about your ayahuasca trip. Now, that's pretty neat.
You know, it occurred to me earlier today, I was like, holy shit, the stuff that I have said and done for Payday, because it felt so intimate and small and aware. Like, it occurred to me, I'm like, there are all kinds of people listening to this. And, well,
that's right.
Because I told my friend to listen to it, and I'm like, oh, my God, now he's going to hear all this shit. And then it occurred to me, and, oh, like, there's so many. Oh, boy, howdy. But it's neat, though, because the timing of me realizing that is, like, it's synchronous with me getting on Facebook and deciding, like, fine, I'm going to just expose myself to everybody.
Because they don't know. They don't really know you.
And it, yeah, well,
you're a character.
And I, well, and the other thing is that I know that's a character.
Yeah, you're a character in a story. And it's a delight for me. I would never think, okay, we decided that I couldn't remember who it was. Never occurred to me that, you know, an hour and a half later, he'd go, Madeline! He was listening to you, and then I walked on, went to the water, and then he hears your name being mentioned over the next hour and a half. So, and then when I come back, he tells me, oh, I know the name now. So in his mind, he's walking around, he's going home from work, he's wondering, what does Matt look like? I wonder what she's like. You know, she takes ayahuasca, that's pretty
so
cool.
Like, I'm now a character.
And you got to see it. He's standing up on the hedge. It's so solid.
Did you tell him that to you, Sam, Bob?
No, I said nothing. I just said, oh, Mal's going to love to hear this.
And Bob, Robert is hearing this right now on the replays.
That's his name, Robert. He's now a character because we're talking about him and his response.
Yeah.
It's just fun. So this is the fun of creating, you know. I just go on. I create this little drama in my life. There's other people who see me in the canteen. They don't know I'm talking to the worker guy just down a few yards down there who's talking about Ion and Madeline Ayahuasca. The kid at the canteen doesn't know this.
But it'll hit him someday.
Yeah. They'll meet somewhere and they'll get talking. They'll talk about that weird guy who comes by every day who looks like he's in pretty good shape and can't tell how old he is, but he's pretty lively. And then Robert will go, that's Bob. Bob? Oh, yeah, that's his name, Bob, yeah. Well, man, you should listen to his show. Oh, he's got a show? Oh, yeah, he talks to a fucking E.T.